You can find anything on the internet. Anything. And I read somewhere the other day that somebody was criticizing the song, The Old Time Religion. I can't remember all they said about it because it just went in one ear and out the other. I'm thankful that I know what the old time religion is. Praise God. I'm glad I know what it is. And I'm glad, thank God, that we still got it. Praise the Lord. The faith of our fathers is not diminished. God has not changed. God is who He always has been. You love Him tonight? Do you believe in taking care of yourself? I mean, really. Spiritually. In your walk with God, do you think we need to do something to take care of ourselves? Is there anything we can do to take care of ourselves? We're going to look at that tonight. We're going to look at it. Pray with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, take us into this and let the anointing of the Holy Spirit rest upon the Word of God as it goes out tonight. Touch our hearts in ways that will cause us to leave this place in a little while closer to You than we were when we came. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that You will open us, stimulate our minds, our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be quick to reach out and grasp hold of the things that You speak to our spirit tonight and then use them in the days ahead, Lord, to be what You intend for us to be. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. There are a lot of things in this life that that people depend on to give them security. Success, money, friends, property, holdings, popularity ratings, connections. The sad thing about it is that you let any of those things become threatened. And unless we are grounded in the faith, our anxiety level will just about skyrocket. Our security does not rest upon things in this world. It had better not rest upon stuff like that. We read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That passes all understanding. Beyond comprehension, the peace of God is, really it is. It doesn't make any sense for somebody to be going, just almost walking through the fires of hell in a trial, and still at the same time have a peace that the world doesn't give and the world can't take away. It just doesn't make any sense, does it? Except in God. His grace is sufficient. That peace passes all understanding. Henry Nouwen said this, we probably will never be completely free from our attachment to the temporal world. But if we want to live in that world in a truly free way, we'd better not belong to it. I agree. We got to keep in mind that this world is not my home. And I'm just going to confess to you tonight, you know, the song we sang a while ago, Amazing Grace, what is that verse that says something about a mansion? How'd that verse go? No, that's a different song. Is there something in Amazing Grace talking about a mansion? that victory in Jesus. That's the one we're singing? That's the one. Thank you. That's not about a mansion, though, is it? But that's what I clicked in on, okay? I clicked mansion. When we've been there 10,000 years, I got to thinking about that. I've never been anywhere 10,000 years. But when we get to heaven and we have a mansion, a harp, a crown, loved ones that have gone before, I'm telling you what, how beautiful heaven must be. I'm looking forward to going there one of these days. How about you? Thank you, Jesus. I'm in this world, but I'm just passing through. I've got a home somewhere else. And Jesus said, I'm going to go build you a mansion. And just to be honest with you, I've never lived in a mansion. But I'll be acclimated to a mansion one day. That's what I'm going to live in, so I'm going to have to be acclimated to it. And I don't think it'll take a whole lot of getting used to live in a mansion. I've lived in other things that you wouldn't call mansions in my time. And we had running water, for instance. You ran out the back. There's a hydrant out there about 50 yards. And we had lots of stuff, lots of amenities. Most of them you may do with. But one of these days, I'm going to have a mansion. And it's going to be beautiful. I'm going to move in. I'm going to feel at home. I'm going to belong there. Praise God. I'm thankful for my home here. I'm thankful for my house here. I'm thankful for the blessings God's given me here. But I've got to remember, I don't belong to this world. I'm just passing through. You see, I've got a body that lives here. But my soul and my spirit have already made preparations for there. So really and truly, I've got more there than I got here. Am I making any sense at all? My soul and my spirit gets in tune with God, and the joys of the Lord comes down and begins to bless soul and spirit. And sometimes my body can't hardly take it. Did you ever get a blessing you didn't think you're going to be able to handle? You think, my Lord, if this gets any stronger, I'm going to have a heart attack. God's good. God is so good. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. I'm quoting Henry Nouwen again, a theologian. He says, to be able to enjoy fully the many good things the world has to offer, we must be detached from them. To be detached does not mean to be indifferent or uninterested. It means to be non-possessive. Life is a gift to be grateful for and not a property to cling to. End of quote. The reason the Apostle Paul and John as well could say these things, they daily experienced a deep sense of belonging to another world. They sensed that. They lived in it. The Apostle Paul was a seasoned veteran who wrote two rather lengthy letters to a young student of his, Timothy. I'm going to share some of his thoughts. How would you like to be recipient of a letter from the Apostle Paul addressed to you? Well, it was written to Timothy, but we can claim it as our own as well. We can claim it as our own. 1 Timothy 1, 1-4, let's look at it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. You see, Paul sensed that the church of Ephesus would one day have problems with all sorts of false teachers and false doctrines. We read in the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 29 and 30. Paul was addressing the elders of the Ephesian church. He was on his way, really, I think, to probably martyrdom. He was on his way to persecution somewhere. We knew that because everywhere he went, he was persecuted. But I think this was getting down pretty close. And he addresses the Ephesian elders. And he says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And so he writes to Timothy. He writes to Timothy because Timothy is a very powerful young man. He is a dedicated young man. He has been really a believer all his life. His grandmother was a believer. His mother was a believer. And Paul said, I perceive that the faith that was in thy grandmother and in thy mother is in you also, Paul. Timothy, I perceive that you have a handle on God. I know that you, our generation here, most of us in this room, we are legal age. And we've seen a lot down through the years. And we've observed a lot. We've pastored, Helen and I have pastored several churches, and we have just observed that there are some of the young people that have an unexplainable something about them that you just want to say, I want to watch their life because I believe they have a special call of God on their life. Anybody here identify what I just said? You just feel that God is going to use them in a certain way. I believe Paul felt that way about Timothy. God's going to use you, son. He's going to use you. So he writes to Timothy, and there are three very significant remarks in his opening that he writes. Paul's concern, number one, was that Timothy was equipped for where he was, not for somewhere he wanted to be. Please take note of that. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, he says. Still at Ephesus. Paul was concerned about that. May I just suggest to you that immaturity tends to run in order to escape heat? Did you understand what I just said? Immaturity wants to run. Immaturity wants to get comfortable. But do you know something? Paul knew it. Character has to be forged in the fire. And Paul says, abide still at Ephesus. I know a pastor. This is no lie. This man told me this. He has now been the pastor of the same church for 35 years. And about 15 years ago, I had a conversation with him, and he told me, he said, we were talking about a church, a good church that was open, you know. And he told me, he said, yeah, I'll put my name in for it. I said, you did? You think about leaving? He said, oh, I put my name in for every church that comes open that's good. Can you believe that? I can't. I can't fathom that. First of all, there are no such thing as real good churches as long as people are in them. And there is no such thing as a wonderful pastor. Get that out of your mind as well. We're all cut out of the same cloth, made out of the same mud, and it's the grace of God that we can stand one another. Oh, turn to somebody and say, thank God for grace. Oh, my. Paul said, stay there. You see, sometimes God wants us, you know, sometimes God wants us just to go through it, to pray it through. You know, I'm a pastor at heart, and I love people, and I'm not fussing that people come to me sometimes with their problems. Please don't hear me saying that. I'm not saying that. Feel free. My door is open. I'm your pastor. I love you. I care about you. But you know, over the years, I've seen people that if they would have just spent an equal amount of time on their knees talking to God as they did talking to me, I can't do anything. I can't do anything but sit there and just hurt with them. And I'll do that. It's what pastors do. But if you just spend time on their knees in prayer and pray it through, that's how you gain victory. That's how you gain confidence. You butt your head against the wall, and you butt your head against the same wall, and you do it the third time, and the 12th time, and the 20th time, and the 50th time, and then the 51st time, maybe you go in and you start praying, and you bust through that wall, and you get victory, and you're stronger than you've ever been. And you can't really give anybody the glory for it except God. He got you through. He got you through. Stay there, Timothy. Stay. Abide still at Ephesus. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 through 5 in the NIV. So then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Verse 3, I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court, Paul writes. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. That's what I'm talking about. You pray it through, and God smiles on you. There's nothing like the smile of God on your life. Nothing like it. Servants of Christ, those who have been entrusted with the secret things of God. Servants, the word servants in this setting is hypereutes, means an under oarsman, not the one at the helm, but the one in the bottom of the boat. Out of sight. Out of mind. The limelight. Nope, no limelight here. Ironic, isn't it, how often we equate ministry with marquees? Right? Image is everything these days. Who can pull in the highest ratings? who can pack in the largest crowds, who can generate the biggest following. Servants of Christ are entrusted with the secret things of God. Timothy, stay put. Stay where you are. Pray it through. I'm not saying there's not times to do something different. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's never the right thing to do, to do something different. I'm not saying that. But if you run every time things get rough, you'll be a track star before it's over. Because you'll be running all your life. Because things are going to get bad. I'll tell you what, some Sunday nights, I leave the service, I go home, and I think, thank God, this is the most wonderful time of my life. What a wonderful group of people. I pastor. I'm so blessed. And I feel that way, and I elate that way. And before I get settled in for a long winter nap, the phone will ring. And someone will fuss about something that is inconsequential. And I think to myself, dear God in heaven, the glory was there. The Holy Ghost moved. People were saved, filled with the Spirit. God blessed in such a tremendous way. And they were sitting there all that time thinking about that. Can't wait to get home to gripe about it. Oh, Lord. Oh, let's move on. Second thing Paul wrote to Timothy, second concern he had for writing Timothy was to encourage him in his quest to maintain doctrinal purity in the body of Christ. Charge them that they teach no other doctrine. Paul had dealt with this problem before. Paul placed a tremendous value on truth in doctrine. Somebody said it like this: the main thing is to see that the main thing remains the main thing. The main thing. Now, we're all going to have our little quirks and our little differences and our this and that and the other. And we've all got our favorite preachers and people that have touched our lives and blessed us. And I suppose that's all right. But you know what? Jesus is where it's at. You know, if we are all coming to Jesus, it means we're all headed the same way, because Jesus, yet if you're drawn to Him, the closer you get to Him, the closer you get to each other. It just works that way. Charge them that they teach no other doctrine. Paul was a strict disciplinarian when it came to purity and doctrine. We've had our times over the years, and I don't need to get too deep into specifics on this, but I can tell you this. When we pastored in Tahlequah, if it was off the wall, it came through Tahlequah and usually wound up in our congregation and usually wanted to take the service over. Anybody here hearing what I'm saying? I was standing in line. I've told this before. I've told every story I know five times. But we've got new people here. You need to hear this. You ain't ever heard nothing like this before. But you're going to hear it. You that heard it, you're going to hear it again. I was standing in line at Safeway. Store was packed. Everybody in town knew I was the pastor of First Assembly of God in Tahlequah. I was standing in the line trying to get checked out, and there were two ladies came up behind me in the line. Their line stretched probably five deep. Every checkout line was crammed. The house is crammed. And they came up to me. I am not, if I'm lying, I'm dying. I'm telling you the honest to God truth on this. They came up to me while I was trying to pay for my groceries and interrupted the checker, and they said, "Pastor, we bought a horse, a racehorse. We named him Charismatic. and we're going to take him for his first race Sunday. Thought you dumbbells, you're supposed to be in church Sunday. But we're going to race him Sunday. We are so excited about charismatic. What we want you to do, we want you to pray in Jesus' name and speak it. Speak charismatic to be a winner. This happened. I prayed all right. I said, "Dear Lord, yes, I agree. I think they were anointed with the spirit of stupid is what I think." Purity in doctrine. We're not going to all see eye to eye on every little jot and tittle. No, we're not. There are people in this room that their philosophy about it is different than mine. But you know what? We come together on common ground at the foot of the cross, and we look up into the face of Jesus, and little things don't matter that much. They don't. Because Jesus is what we're really interested in. Lifting Him up. Romans chapter 6 verse 17 says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." Romans 16 and 17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." He writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, 6, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." So secondly, Paul is concerned that Timothy will keep true to pure doctrine. Keep true to God's word. Third thing he told Timothy, keep your own self pure. "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith." It's like Paul saying, "Oh, by the way, Timothy, as for you, you need to read the Bible. You need to read God's Word. Be a reader." Folks, I don't know how to say this except to say it. If you don't have a desire for God's Word, you're sick. If you don't have a desire for food, you're sick physically. But if you don't have a desire for God's Word, you're sick spiritually. Because that is our food. It is our bread. I'm not scolding you. I'm just saying you need the Word of God. And you gotta get into the Word of God. Not to use it as some amulet or charm. Not so that you can drive a Lexus or whatever, not so that you can become filthy rich, but get into the Word to feed your soul, your spirit. It's food. And Paul told Timothy, he said, read. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12 and 13, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come," he says, "give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Give attendance to it. "But I don't have time to read." Oh, What about the time you spend watching Dancing with the Stars? What about American Idol? What about the time you spent watching Michael Jackson's funeral for the fourth time? You got time. We got time to do what we want to do. That's a basic element of it. Whatever we want to do, that's what we do. Am I right? Take the time. Discipline ourselves to read the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue in the things which you've learned. Verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Continue thou in those things. Continue in them, even though you've known. Somebody said, well, I've read Psalm chapter 1 before. We'll read it again. Not going to kill you. It's not going to hurt. It'll feed you. I tell you about this Bible, this holy Bible. I tell you about it. You go to turn its pages and start trying to read it, and the next thing you know, it's reading you. It's talking to you. I cannot tell you the number of times over the years I've been dealing with things that were absolutely mind-boggling, things that were threatening to crush the very life out of me. And I had no place else to go, but I'd go to prayer and I'd open the Bible. And just like God, I looked at it and I thought, oh my goodness, that's where I am. He's talking to me through this book. Read it. Meditate. Guard your private thoughts. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14 and 15. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Daydreaming and meditating aren't the same. Meditate on God. I tell you a good way to meditate on God. I tell you a good way to start your hour of prayer. Learn the Jehovah titles. Just learn the Jehovah titles. Jehovah Nisai, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rafika. Learn them. There's several of them. Learn them. And just sit there, eyes closed, and just tell God who He is like He doesn't already know. But by the time you go through the Jehovah titles, you'll be ready. You'll be ready to get a blessing from God. Meditate on those things. Meditate on them. Guard your private thoughts. Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, brings forth his fruit in due season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff driven by the wind. But we meditate on God. Meditate on Him. Guard your conduct, Timothy. 1 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 15. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. How to behave ourselves in the house of God. Wow, I'll not stop there for very long. 1 Timothy 4:7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Old wives' fables. Those are bad. And let me tell you something else. Young wives, young husbands, and old husbands' fables are bad too. Do I have any amens on that? Gossip, my Lord, gossip. You ever stop to think about the word gossip? Gossip. Gossip. Hear the serpent? Yeah. That's what gossip is. It's the serpent. Sound like a rattlesnake, doesn't it? Conduct yourselves in godliness. Refuse profane and wise fables. Exercise thyself rather in the godliness. I tell you, I had former church, not here, not in Chickasha, never in Chickasha. Make that clear. I had a former pastor. I had somebody come to me, and they were all bent out of shape because so-and-so had done so-and-so, and so-and-so had done so-and-so. And they were unloading, just going to unload the whole load on me. And I interrupted them. I just took their hand. I said, you know what we need to do? We need to pray. They need prayer. And I just began to pray and seek God right there. And that's the last time that person ever came to my office griping. People don't want to pray. You know what? Some people use prayer request times as gossip session. I don't know what Martha's got going on, but there's a car parked in her front yard at 4 o'clock in the morning. We need to pray for Martha. She needs help. Yeah. She ain't the only one that needs help. First Timothy 4, verse 14 through 16, neglect not the gift that is in thee, given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Take heed unto thyself. One of the most frequent things Paul tells Timothy is to take heed to thyself. You know who I have the most trouble with in all this world? The very absolute most trouble in this whole wide world that I have trouble with is my wife's first husband. In case you missed it, that's me. I want to make that clear before gossip started. Oh, boy. Take heed to thyself, Paul says. I need to take heed to myself. We all need to take heed to ourselves. One more scripture session. Section here, 1 Timothy 5, verse 21 and 22. Paul says, I charge thee, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Guard your conduct. Guard your conduct. Now, what does any of this that Paul wrote to Timothy have to do with us taking care of ourselves today? Well, let me just tell you this in closing. If we stay where we are, hold our ground, don't run every time there's a little battle to fight. Just hold your ground. Hold steady. Used to have an old presbyter one time. Bless his heart. That was one of his favorite sayings. Oh, what you got, preacher? I'd go to fellowship meetings and he'd get me off to one side. Say, Brother Hatfield, just hold steady. Hold what you got. Stay steady. Stay where you are. Timothy, do what you've been assigned to do. Whatever God calls you to do it. Just do it. Whatever God asks you to do. And stay darkly pure. If we do those things, we're going to experience God's blessing on our lives. He will bless us. He will bless us. Take care of ourselves. May God help us to take care of ourselves. I appreciate people who have the touch of God on their life, and they have dynamic, powerful ministries, and that dynamic comes forth as they minister to people, and people especially that minister around the altars, and people come forward and lay hands on them, and God does wonderful things. And there have been occasions God's used me in that way, and I'm thankful for those times. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about one-on-one. I'm talking about us personally. You know what? I gotta plow my own ground. I gotta read the book for myself. I gotta fight the battle that I'm having to fight. I've got to know God for myself. And you've got to know God for yourself as well. Let's stand together. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you tonight for this wonderful group of people. I love them, Lord. I'm thankful for them. God, they have ministered to me times without number over the years. Lord, many of us in this room, we have a long history together. Lord, we fought side by side in some of the fierce battles that we've had to face as a fellowship. God, we've gone through lean times together when we didn't know how I was going to make it, and you supply the needs. Thank you for the history that we share. Others, Lord, have come on board of late, and what a blessing they've been to see them, Lord, soak like a sponge your word, to respond to your Holy Spirit. God, you've touched them many times and given them physical healings and blessed them and encouraged them, Lord, and helped them in domestic situations and situations where they needed employment and other needs, Lord, that were pressing them, God. And you've come through, and I want to thank you for that, Lord. I want to thank you for those in this room, Lord, that we've stood side by side in an emergency room somewhere. And we prayed and we cried together. Lord, you brought us through. Our loved ones, Lord, were ministered to. God, thank you. Thank you for the fellowship, Lord. I want to ask you to encourage every one of them tonight, Lord. Encourage these dear people. God, just encourage them even now. Come, Holy Ghost, and encourage them now, Lord. God, help us not to run. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be true to your word. And help us, oh Lord God, keep ourselves pure, our motives pure. Help us not to have hidden agendas, Lord, that make us sneaky creatures. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that God will be open. open to one another and open to you, Lord God. Where there's purity, there's power, O Lord. Help us to stay pure in your sight. Help us to be pure in our dealings with each other, Lord. Father God, I pray these things. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just wait here for a moment before the Holy Spirit, will you? Just pray. Just praise Him. Whatever it is that comes to your mind right now to do, do it. Just praise or pray or whatever it is that you feel you need to do, but just respond to the presence of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Holy Spirit, you're in this room tonight, God. You're in this room, Holy Spirit. We worship you, Lord. We magnify thy name. Hallelujah. Just pray with one another. Amen. Encourage one another tonight with prayer. In Jesus' name. Bless this fellowship, Lord. Bless this people. Almighty God, bless this people. Somebody, Lord, here tonight, discourage and encourage them, God. Somebody here in this room tonight, Lord God, facing a crisis in their marriage. In their home, minister to them, Lord. Encourage them. Don't let them leave here tonight discouraged. Let them experience the loving touch of God upon their soul and spirit. Father God, in Jesus' name, those, Lord, that are seeking solutions, those, Lord, that need answers, I mean they really need answers, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, at least give them the seed of the answer. At least, O Lord God, the faith, Lord, for the answer. My God, you've solved many problems, Lord, but they get solved first sometimes, Lord, in our hearts before they're solved in actuality. God, I pray for people tonight in this room, Lord, that are dealing with situations beyond their control, beyond any influence, God, they have. I pray, God, that you'd drop a bombshell of faith in their heart right now. In Jesus' name, to know that the answer's on the way. To know the answer's on the way. But we know He's going to do it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God's going to do it again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, let the peace of God that passes all understanding be ours tonight. Father, I pray our bodies will be rested tonight, Lord Jesus. Our hearts, Lord, will be at peace. Our homes will be temples of peace. praise and worship. Our tables will be fellowship meetings, times of celebration of your goodness and provision. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I ask the blessing of God in abundance upon these who are in this room tonight, in this place. Father, in this fellowship, in the body of Christ, across this city, O Lord God, move mightily in every heart and life. Draw us all close to you in Jesus' name. We pray these things. And everyone said, amen. May God bless you. Shake hands. Be friendly tonight. Fellowship with